Over the lockdown, we started talking to one another more and more on Skype and Zoom and other video communications platforms. It was very useful, and the same technology has been touted for ages in New Zealand for maintaining medical services, for example, in our more isolated communities. But there's nothing like face-to-face with all the comfort and empathy that enables. Or is that not right? There's a new study in Lancet. Dr. Zena Salmon is joining us, a professor of psychiatry and behavioural neurosciences at McMaster University in Ontario. Hello, Zena.
Hello.
Cognitive behavioural therapy delivered electronically to treat people with depression more effective than face-to-face encounters. We shan't be asking you only about cognitive behavioural therapy, but how can that be? What did you find?
So what did we find? Both models of delivering therapy were good for reducing the symptoms of depression, but the electronic way was even better. It had more reduction in depressive symptoms than face-to-face.
And how did you ascertain that?
We ascertained that using statistical methods. We calculated the differences in reduction in depressive symptoms between those two models, and the overall estimate showing that the electronic model was better.
And that included patient responses and assessments as well, I'm assuming.
Yes, showing how was their depression when they started, before the onset of the therapy, and at the end of the therapy in both models of depression. And people reported that the level of depression at the end of the therapy was less than the level of depression when they started off.
This is pretty interesting, and it wasn't a small sample. You looked at this across countries, didn't you?
That's correct. There were about over just 2,000 people participated in all these studies from various countries in the world.
So, Zena, it's what? A trade-off in terms of both effect and satisfaction. Being in the same room is nice, but you have to weigh that up. And we know this feeling in our big cities. You have to weigh that up against flexibility, privacy, not being off work for 2 hours, no hassles, parking, and so on. Are they the trade-offs involved here?
That's correct, Jim. All of these factors play into it. The availability of the therapy when you need it from your own home, from your own office, as long as you have private space, it makes a huge difference. In my job, I'm a psychiatrist, and I do see patients both face-to-face and virtually. Since the COVID pandemic started, everything is delivered by computers now, including our clinical care. The feedback from people, from patients who experience both models, showing that they are much more comfortable and finding it much convenient for them to access it from home. Depression and mental health in general have a lot of stigma. Many people do not want to admit to their employer or to other people that they do have a mental illness. And coming to a building that is labeled as a mental health facility prevents people from accessing care. And that's a huge barrier. So having it electronically delivered is more discreet, and it doesn't show that this person had this illness or that. So that's another factor to play to consider here.
Yeah, even in this more enlightened day and age. Could it be, though, that at the same time you miss out, if I were coming to see you, I might miss out on that possibly vital connection, that simpatico that being in the room with you could add?
That's why we see a lot of positive responses when you do interventions like psychotherapy with patients. Many patients do well, regardless of what kind of therapy, by the simple fact coming to see someone who's sympathetic, who's trained to listen, will make you feel better. So considering electronic intervention take that factor away, you would assume that you're missing on something. However, the studies show that satisfaction is really no different. So these are therapist-delivered electronic intervention. These are not an application on a phone or a generated program on a computer that a person does. They still get a feedback from a human being. So the therapists are still there and needed, minus that you're not seeing them face-to-face.
Okay, so seeing you on a screen is enough. So you are now saying let's get busy with offering electronic cognitive behavioural therapy. It's as good as being in the room?
Yes. Why not remove the barriers by the cost of a building, the travel, all the things that we talked about, taking time off work, and offering it to people from the convenience of their own location. On the other hand, we also have to consider resources and facilities and remote communities. We're fortunate to live in a big city with all the facilities are available, but we do know depression affects everyone in every place in the world. So if we have the ability to reach out to people wherever they are without having to travel, you know, we have patients who live 8 hours away drive from us. And if we have to deliver that therapy, psychotherapy has to be done weekly. If they have to come in every week, that's impossible. So the accessibility, the flexibility, the removing the barrier, the removing the stigma, all of those reasons, I would say electronic therapy should be the first line of offering treatment.
We're talking with Professor Zena Salmon. So one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you electronically is to ask how much, and you've just hinted at it, application this has for all manner of consultations. I mean, obviously the doctor can't take your blood pressure if you're not in the room, but can you see a vast diminution of the need to visit psychotherapists, lawyers, psychiatrists, accountants, even doctors?
I see there is a potential for having the electronic communication moving forward to be more expanding. When we do an assessment, we like to observe the nonverbal cues, the body language, all of the important factors that help us to make a distinction. Is this person has an illness or not? Do they need therapy or not? But I'll add that with the electronic and the video visits, now I can see into people's environment much more than I was able to see people in the clinic, in the hospital. I see how they live. They show me around their house. I see their pets. They can invite family members to speak with me. And if they don't know what medication they are taking or they got prescribed a new medication, they can look it up and show it to me on the camera. That's a huge advantage I did not have before.
Wow. So you find out more about your clients by their being at home rather than in your office?
Absolutely. And the feedback from people themselves, they found that they can express their emotions better when they are in their own private space than coming into an office with a waiting area. They have to make sure they look presentable to the outside world, and that's why they have to hold back. Mental illness is so vastly underserved, and especially in remote area, dispersed areas, we do need to make these things accessible and available for people, even if we have to forgo the face-to-face contact. And the other advantage that I see for me as a physician, I can access more people and respond to them in real time electronically than I would have in a hospital building, because I'm going to have to wait for them to come. While now I can just get the phone, get on my line, get on Zoom, and get to them immediately.
Yeah, that's a very important point as well.
Okay. Totally.
Thank you very much for talking to us.
You're very welcome. Have a lovely day.
That's Professor Zena Salmon from McMaster University in Ontario.